Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. We speak in this atmosphere, and we say, let there be light. I want to revisit something that I've talked about a lot. My title this month, and those of you that are just logging onto the podcast, we welcome you. My title is from a scripture in 1 John chapter 4, which I'll show you in a moment. It's these words, as he is, manifesting the Christ in the material world. The scripture is out of 1 John chapter 4, one of my favorites, and I'll show it to you first of all in the New King James Version. In verse 17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, I had Elwood, I'm sure you're streaming, Elwood Neuer, who's on our board, took me to, he and Elizabeth were coming Tuesday night, but they found out they got to be out of town, so he took me to dinner, started the birthday week. Which, by the way, even if you don't buy art, you can still give me a gift. If you want to, just don't give me anything I have to carry home and put somewhere, because I have no counter space left. Checks and cash, they fit in a pocket. Which, by the way, let me also say, I don't think he would mind me saying this. I missed Pastor David Payne was just here, but he had to leave to go pick up his son. But he was here for the part of the service. I thought, wow, okay. I'm sorry I missed you. I would have said something about you. But I can't see who's behind the lights. There's so many thousands of people out there. But anyway, what was I just saying? What? Oh, gifts. Elwood. A lot of what you're going to hear came from. Was stirred up by our conversation the other night, which Avery, I haven't even told you this. Elwood and Elizabeth and their kids live in Noonan, so they go sometimes to a Baptist church there because that's where his kids, they go to school with those kids. I understand. I don't want to hear about it. Like the last time he was up here for a board meeting, they have pay it forward cards at their church. I said, I don't want to hear about your other pastor. When I think about that other pastor with his revelation on you, it makes me sick. He knows I'm joking. He took me to dinner the other night, and he pulls out, he has pay it forward cards that says Bish in the Now on it. They're more about the ministry than the cards we made up. I said, what is that? He said, he puts the website, bishinthenow.com. I'm sure it's the largest tip that waiter has ever received. He said, that's what I put down. I said, Elwood, I'm going to forgive you for going to the Baptist church, so I forgive you. But I also appreciate some of our conversation. And we talked about this. What does it mean, as he is, so are we in this world? And we were talking about specifically, and those of us with revelation, we've all danced around this. You know, we want to say, well, I don't want to say I'm God. I don't want to say it sounds crazy. I mean, crazy people have done things thinking they were God. I mean, you know, if you say you're God, they may send somebody to interview you. And remember when Paulette told that story about she was going through something. She was in office. She was crying out. She was praying. And people heard and reported it. And the people, was it paramedics that came, or EMTs or somebody? And they said, are you hearing voices? And she said, no. They said, do you talk to God? She says, no. She said, I knew if I'd said, yeah, I'm just here talking to God, they might have put me away. So you have to be discreet in how you explain some things. And yet we know in John chapter 10 when the Pharisees challenged Jesus. They said, how dare you call yourself the Son of God? He brings them back to the book of Psalms. And he says, well, you've said in your own law you are God's, little g. But it's still, like, we always want to make sure we go, I mean, little g. I'm not saying I'm God. And we were raised on this theology that Lucifer says he's going to ascend to the sides of the north and be like God, and that's why he's cast out. So we're very, you know, the the best-selling Rick Warren book begins with "There is a God and you are not Him." You know, that was the whole premise, and I understand that. That's why I wanted to, him to sing a little bit more about higher power. I do believe in. I don't believe it's a 80-something Jewish man on a throne floating in the Milky Way somewhere, but I do believe in creative design, intelligent design. I believe. This morning we were getting ready. The movie The Bible was on, that was made in 1966, and by John Huston. And I'm watching because I've seen it a zillion times. But I remember we actually went to see it in 1966, and Adam and Eve were naked, like walking around like I saw butts. You know, it was like shocking. I'm looking at the Genesis narrative made into a movie form, and I thought, I can see why this sounds like a fairy tale to people that don't believe in it. Because, you know, the Genesis narrative is, he put a bright light, two lights to, you know, guide us, the greater one in the daytime, the lesser one in the nighttime. Well, that's because the ancients had no idea there was a whole universe of billions of planets out there. So they were only aware of two celestial bodies. You know, when Copernicus said the Earth is not the center of the universe, the Catholic Church wanted to not excommunicate, they wanted to kill him, martyr him, because people believe, well, the Bible says from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. There is no such thing as a sunrise. The Earth is revolving and rotating around a solar system. But if you don't know that, I mean, Paul didn't even have that concept. You know, Paul talked about every knee will bow of things in the earth, things under the earth. He thought the earth was a plane, and there was a third heaven. So even these people who had revelation of the Christ didn't know things that we know now just by looking through a telescope. That being said, we don't throw away our knowledge of God. I mean, honestly, I was thinking today, you wouldn't know this now to look at her, but my mom could really rock a Hammond organ back in the day. And it used to amaze me because I can play the piano, but the organ is a whole other multitask thing because you're playing two keyboards with your hands and you're playing the bass line with your feet. And we used to play those Pentecostal songs like Victory in Jesus and Power in the Blood, and we'd sing it for hours, and my mom would just be going. And I remember looking at her thinking, how do you do that? If I tried to play an organ, it literally makes me nauseous because I'm not a good multitasker. And when I'm thinking about, you know, like, what do I do with my, like, get me off of this thing. You got to have a special kind of brain to play Hammond organ. But I have beautiful memories of singing all those things. I posted a picture yesterday of me at Easter 1966, and I was looking at it. I thought, clearly somebody posed me for this picture. Because I had the standard issue little white jacket. I would have never... I would have never folded my hands, but that's the way they were. I remember those kids were lined up, and that's why I look like I'm about to bust out laughing, because I was like, are you freaking kidding me with this? And yet, I love all of those Christian traditions. I don't want to live without them. But I also want to be in the now. I also, when somebody talks about laws of attraction or manifestation, you'll see it. Tuesday night, Judah came by yesterday, which this was kind of interesting about our relationship. I was so tired. I was laying on the concrete there in the gallery, and Judah came in because he and Jonah were meeting their mom, which I got to talk to Debbie for a little bit because they were going out to Bo's birthday, which is today. Bo Flanders was born the same day that, not the same date, but the same day in 1933 that Ken's dad was born. Isn't that crazy? After talking to Judah for a little bit, I said, this is amazing. I feel energized. Because we were talking about, I don't know, we were laughing, and then these guys came in and were looking at the picture, and we were telling them both about our churches. And I said, that's amazing, the effect you have on me. I don't want to not be aware of all these other new truths that have, I'll say it this way, I want to bring treasures out of my house, both old and new. And you've seen a manifestation of that today. All right. Let me show you this in the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament, which it's wordy. I'm just showing you the last part of verse 17. It says, because just as that one is, not was, is. You do know Jesus is not a 33-year-old Israeli man with long hair and a robe and sandals. You know, if that's where your comfort zone is, you say, I want to get to heaven and see Jesus, I'm going to tell you, whoever he is now, he doesn't look like that now. When John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, he described him a completely different way. He said his eyes were as a flame of fire. His voice was the sound of many waters. So remember, even after the resurrection, Jesus would appear to his disciples who had spent every waking minute with him for 3 years, and they didn't recognize him. The disciples on the road to Emmaus walked for nearly 6 miles with him talking about the scriptures to them and didn't know who he was. So when this says, as he is, that's very different from as he was. Jonah, do you mind me telling the story one more for the bazillionth time about you being baptized? Because it makes my point. When you must have been, I don't know, really young. 4 maybe? 5? Young. Just go with it. I had already baptized Judah. Well, then it was time to baptize Jonah. So we're driving to church that night, and Jonah says, what do we have to do? I said, well, I usually ask you to say something, like why you want to be baptized, and then I just put you under the water, I bring you right back up. And because we had Trinitarians and oneness people in the church, I used to always say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. I kept everybody's religious tradition happy. Now I'm just tired of it, and I go, Judah, you baptize him. I can't, it's too much. It's on you now. But so we're pulling into the church parking lot, and Jonah says, well, I don't want to say anything. He said, what do I have to say? So Judah, who was always evangelical back in the day, he said, well, you just say something like, I want to get baptized because I want to be like Jesus. To which Jonah says, I don't want to be like Jesus. And I said, well, yeah, buddy, that's kind of the goal. It's kind of why Daddy has a job. Is because people want to be like Jesus. And I realize in his mind, he's thinking, I don't want to have long hair in a row. Well, you do have long hair, but later, but I don't want to wear, and I definitely don't want somebody to nail me to 2 pieces of wood. So I said, let's just wait on this. Let's wait until your comfort level. And I think a couple of years later, you did get baptized. But the idea, he was actually tapping into a profound truth. When people say, I want to be like Jesus, well, define your terms. Because John says here, as he is. How is he now? He's omnipresent now. He's consciousness now. See, a lot of people are afraid of that term. Consciousness is not a bad word. Christ's consciousness is a good thing. It's the reason why Jesus said it's necessary that I go away. Because as long as you see me in this physical body, you're going to have a finite image of who God is. It is necessary that I go away. Once I go away, you know why he said I must go away? So you can become me. Because as long as I'm here, I'm going to be me, and you'll never be me. So here's what he says, because just as that one is, we also continuously exist being within the midst of this ordered system, because in this world of culture, religion, economy, and government, even we ourselves progressively exist correspondingly as and to the according level as that one continuously exists and is progressively being. Now, I've been teaching this for years. You know, I've told you, I love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but there's a gospel according to Karen. There's a gospel according to Fro. There, you have your own revelation of who Jesus is, and you have your parables, your life lessons that you've learned. You have your miracles. And that's what's supposed to be happening. Whatever the Bible is not the definitive Word of God. It contains the Word of God. It can connect you to the Word of God. But Paul said, we're the living epistles written in the hearts of men. We are the Word of God. We are Christ consciousness. Which brings me to this third thing. I've never met Dr. Kay Fairchild, but I love her teaching. Now, she may not be quite where I'm at on some things, but this whole thing about why Jesus died, she is spot on this, because this whole idea that God just was so sickened by us that he could only see us through the blood, that does not jibe with me. I think, why wouldn't God have just loved me because he created me? And you know, all those gospel songs, even Andre Crouch used to sing his song, I Don't Know Why Jesus Loved Me. There's all that, that was a very prevalent idea. I don't know why. How could he love? Even when Judas sang Amazing Grace today, he changed the, he didn't sing the word that saved a wretch like me. Because when, was it Isaac, what was this? Not Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton was the, he was the physics guy. John Newton. When John Newton wrote that, he was repenting for his role in the slave trade. So when he called himself wretched, I'm like, yeah, you were wretched. You were buying and selling people and you know, you were trafficking slaves in the Middle Passage. So, yeah, that was your mea culpa, not necessarily mine. I don't think everybody's wretched. And I don't want to think that I loved all four of my kids before they were born. They didn't have to do anything to gain my approval. I just loved them because they were mine. This idea that God hated you and Jesus had to absorb all of the wrath of God, that's not really supported from the scriptures. Here, this is what she said. It's a little lengthy, so just bear with me. But she posted this day before yesterday. It says, the death of Jesus exposed and absorbed the lie of all religious teaching, such as God and man, or Christ and us. Light and darkness, strength and weakness, health and sickness, wealth and poverty, life and death, saint and sinner. Remember at the end of Tombstone when Doc Holliday's dying and he goes, it ain't good life or bad life. Why? It's just life. Well, that's the way it is. If you see everything through the tree of life as opposed to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, listen, until you do that, you'll never understand how all things work together for good. Because people don't really believe that. Believe me, most of the counseling I've done in however many years now, 40-something years, was always people thinking that the bad stuff was really bad. I never had anybody ever come to my office saying, these are the horrible things that have just happened to me, but there's a blessing in disguise and all things are working together. No, everybody just wants the pain to stop. But sometimes, let me preach this to you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have to say to Nebuchadnezzar, we believe God will deliver us from this fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow to you. And when they go through the fire, the only thing that is burned is the ropes off your hands. Sometimes the worst thing that ever happened to you is the thing that really sets you free. And it doesn't mean he didn't leave a scar. There's a difference between walking around with open wounds and embracing your scars. There are things in my life that left me wounded, but they're not infected. I mean, I can look and go, oh, I learned a lesson from that, but I'm not, there's not an open running wound inside me. I am healed. That's why people write to me, and I got one yesterday. People say, you know, do you even miss church of the now? I'm like, no. How do you not know that? It doesn't mean I didn't love it. I loved it. I loved then. I love now. What we were talking about yesterday, I said, if I ever start a church, I'm going to call it something like Church of the Now or Church in the Now. Wouldn't that be a great idea? Like if you could tell people about living in the now. Because clearly, 30 years of Church in the Now didn't dent a lot of people's brains. Because there's still like, if we could ever hear you preach again. I said, well, you know, I preach every Sunday. Never even took a week off. Never took a week off. Never missed a beat. 1 week at Church of the Now, next week at Metron. Never even stopped. I know, but if we just knew where you are. I'm the same place. Been there. My cousin Mark, who turned 60 4 days, he's 4 days before me. He called me on his birthday yesterday. He said, do you, or day before yesterday. He said, so do you still have a church somewhere? I'm like, seriously, Mark? Really? You really don't know that? Yeah, well, I heard you had a art studio like in Eastlake or something. I'm scared to go there. I said, no, it's in Midtown. He said, nothing against Eastlake, but I said, that's not where it is. He said, well, I don't go there much, but I went to Ponce City Market once. I said, it's across the street from there. Oh, that's where you are? So you have that and a church? I'm like, some people say, I just remember how good it was. Yes, it was good. Here's the thing. You don't have to hate summer to love fall. When the fall gets here, I'm ready to put on a jacket and wear some corduroy and go walk around with Howie in the woods and watch the leaves turn. I don't, it would be ridiculous for me to go, it's October and all I can think about is August. It was so hot in August and we had so much sunshine and the humidity was so, I just can't enjoy October because August was so good. No, August was great. And then October's great. It's called living in the now. Do you even miss it? No, I don't miss it. I loved it. I don't miss it. I loved when these kids were little. I love now that they somehow they all got here to church. And I didn't have to figure it out. That's a good thing. And when they couldn't drive, I was happy to drive them places. But once that was over with, I was happy that they were mobile. I mean, look, if there's something sick and twisted about you not wanting your kids to grow up, and you it's a wonderful thing when they individualize yes, you are correct. Okay. Pure and impure, saved and lost, redeemed and unredeemed, inheritance and lack, spiritual universe and material, physical universe, perfection and imperfection, immortal and mortal, incorruptible and corruptible, present and future, eternity and time, here and there, truth and lie, cause and effect, spirit and body, saved and unsaved, us and them. Man, she is so right on. Divine nature and sinful nature, Christ identity and Adamic identity, etc. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, dualism. We were talking about this yesterday. I'm just going to tell you something. This whole notion that people get saved and then they're good people. Let me tell you something. I've known a lot of Christians that their morals, are you kidding me? When people say, well, they just need Jesus. Do you know how many people I know that knew Jesus that have slept around at multiple they're like no morals whatsoever. I know atheists that are monogamous, are committed. George Carlin, hardened atheist, lived, he and his wife married 40-something years, never cheated on her. Well, he just needed Jesus. Really? I don't know. This idea that, well, Jesus will fix it for you. Sometimes he will. But I've been around Christians too long to know. I mean, I know this idea that all those ones outside the church, they're living for the devil. Anyway, the resurrection of Jesus revealed the truth, such as God as man, as he is, so are we in this world. Christ as us. Light prevails. Darkness is merely the absence of the awareness of light. Yes! Our Father is the strength of our life. He is the health of our body. He is the wealth of all people. There is only one life. Paul said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One life, and he is the life of all. He is the sanctification of all. He is the righteousness of all. He is the holiness of all. All are pure by virtue of oneness. All were saved from the foundation of the world. All possess eternal redemption. All were blessed with all that pertains to life and godliness. Heaven as earth, he is our perfection and completeness. He is the immortality and incorruptibility of all men. You posted something about it this week about not just wanting to go to heaven, but realizing that. Don't you feel that when you work in your garden? I've never been to your house, but I see your garden. Don't you feel like you've brought heaven to earth? That's what we're supposed to do. It's called the New Testament. But one of these days, I'm supposed to walk on streets of gold. You're supposed to walk on streets of gold now. What happens to us after we die? Why don't you just enjoy today and figure out what happens to you after you die? After you die? How about that? Heaven as earth, he is our of all men. He is the nowness of our now. What? He is the eternality of our life revealed in time, yet not affected by time. My God. He is the here of our existence. He is the truth of our I am. He is the cause as the effect, us. He is spirit, slowed down as our visibility. He is our salvation from before time began. and there is only us as them and them as us, only one. He is our divine nature, and he is our true and only identity, et cetera. Tree of life, oneness. Now, until you get that, and listen, that doesn't mean that people don't have consequences for their behavior. Bad behavior, there is such a thing as karma. When Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me not, and he said, those of you that didn't feed me will go in the fire, he wasn't saying they're going to hell. He was saying, if you're indifferent to the suffering of other people, what goes around comes around. So there's going to come a day where you're going to wish that you had been merciful. You will learn. Basically, he was saying you will learn empathy. He was not talking about eternal punishment. Go back and look at the Greek word. It's P-U-R. It's where we get purification from. And I've been through. Listen, there were people in my life that I was judgmental of until that thing happened to me. You know. Remember before you had children and you were an expert on child raising. Well, I tell you one thing. When I have kids, my kid, you. You just have kids and hope for the best. You do what you can. Let me wrap this up. There's so much confirmation going today. I had already planned this, and then Doc this morning, I think it was this morning, you posted about the I am is the way. Wasn't that this morning? All right, let me tell you why this is important. The people who are against the idea of inclusion, John 14:6 is their go-to scripture. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's why all the Jews and the Muslims and everybody else, they're all going to hell because Jesus said, I'm it, it's me or hell. I can't believe Jesus doesn't just come back and slap people for saying that because he's like, I never said that. I haven't used the Mirror translation a lot, the Mirror Bible, but it's really, really good. And this is what John 14:6 says in the Mirror translation. Jesus said, my amness mirrored in you. He lives in you. Oh, this is just a perfect day. You know it? Jesus said, my amness mirrored in you is your way. Not become a Christian and you won't go to hell. He never, ever said that. My amness mirrored in you is your way. In other words, as I found my way to being the Christ, you have to find your way being the Christ. My amness mirrored in you is your way. This is your truth and also your life. Every single person can now come face to face with the Father entirely because of my doing. Why? Because he died on the cross? No, because he self-actualized to know who he was. Look, Jesus could look at religious people and he'd say, look, I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. You don't know anything. Like he was unshakable. He could even go to the cross, even though the cross was not plan A. If there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But God doesn't need it. But if these people who came from a culture of blood sacrifice, if that's what they believe, then fine, I will do that for him. And it doesn't invalidate it. It makes you put it in some context so that if he could realize who he was, you can realize who you were or are. As he is, so are we in this world. Let me wrap it up. I like this quote by Anton St. Martin. It says, you are one thing only. You are a divine being, an all-powerful creator. You are a deity in jeans and a t-shirt, and within you dwells the infinite wisdom of the ages and the sacred creative force of all that is, will be, and ever was. Oh, Bishop, I could never say I am God. Okay, well, why don't you just work on it? Look, to say I am God or I have the nature of God or by these exceeding great and precious promises we've been made partakers of the divine nature, that doesn't mean you're saying you're the all-knowing, all-being. You're saying I came out of God. Let me put it to you this way. I was looking at a picture. Michael Don posted a picture of Mom and Dad and me in 1967. People all my life always told me, I looked at my mom, I didn't see it. I looked at her, like, I had her identical face. Now I look more like my dad. So when you look at me, you know there's this person called General Swilly. And yet I could look at you and say, I am Jimmy and Darlene Swilly. And that would still be true because I am. No, it was not that one. That was not exactly. I mean, it was about a decade before that. I know you see Jared, you see Jonah, but Jonah looks a lot like my dad did when he was younger. But now I put you on the spot. Now I raise the bar so high. Michelle's like, oh, I gotta find the right one. No, that's not it. Oh, you are way off. I put you up high, bring you right down. It's like, but the fact is, I am this person. I can look at Jared and Christina, and Christina looks so much like her mom, especially the way her mom looked as a young woman. I can look at them, and I see me. I see their mom. I can look at Judah and Jonah. I see me. I see their mom. They are them. They have their own look. No, that wasn't it. That was Easter 1997. But you get the idea. So it doesn't mean I don't exist as a person. It just means that I am them. My kids are me and their mom. They just are. It's in the DNA. And even when Judah was saying today, you are not dead, you're planted. You know, the whole thing about the tree growing up, the tree doesn't try to be, the seed doesn't. That's it. You look at that. It looks like you cut and pasted that face. I mean, it's like the exact same face. And that looks a lot like Jonah right there, my dad. Like, isn't that crazy? But see, now I look more, I think I look more like him. But it's all in there. So it doesn't take away from their existence. When you say, I'm God, you're not saying, I have the final authority on sway and all things. You're just saying, I recognize that I have creative ability. Let us make people in our image and let them have dominion. That's what those two guys that were yesterday that were looking at the picture, he said, well, why did the Genesis say, let us make man in our image? I said, it's just come to my church and I'll explain it to you. I don't have time to talk about it right now. I'm laying on the concrete. All right, let me wrap this up. I have to use an Emerson quote, and I love this one because it's so true. It says, every man is a divinity in disguise, a God playing the fool. So that when you go beyond your, beneath your level, you're belying your own creation. The song she sang was from The Lion King. What the big famous line for The Lion King is, remember who you are. And we all have to, that's what being born again is. Unless a man's born again, he won't see that. He won't see the kingdom of God. You saying, my father is a king, he has a kingdom. Exactly. But if you're not born again, you'll never see that. The Bible never said, unless a man's born again, he won't go to heaven. That's not what it ever said. It says he won't see the kingdom. He won't get it. He won't perceive it. Thank you, Larry. And then finally, isn't this the last one? Is this number 7? Yeah. It says, let every man and woman count himself immortal. Let him catch the revelation of Jesus in his resurrection. Let him say, not merely Christ is risen, what you said, but I shall arise. So whatever you believe, even if you don't identify as Christian, let me tell you something you can identify with. Jesus prophesied his death, but he always prophesied his resurrection. I must go to Jerusalem. I will be crucified. I'll be put into the hands of sinners, but I'll be back on the third day. No matter what you're going through, the death of a relationship, the death of a business, the death of a career, the death of an idea, a dream, or whatever, what you have to do is to say, I am going through some turbulence. I'm going through a divorce. I'm going through a bankruptcy. I'm losing my business. I'm doing this and that. But I will live again. You always leave it with a prophecy of your resurrection. At my father-in-law's funeral a few months ago, a man sang the great Bill Gaither song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. His resurrection is my resurrection. And that transcends Christianity. Even if you don't believe in literal resurrection, the truth is still truth for you, that you are a living being that can say, I will get through this. I will live again. How did Jesus reveal himself to John on the Isle of Patmos? I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. That should become everybody's testimony. I am the guy that had it all together and lost everything, and yet I am always the guy who will have it all together, and my latter will be greater than my former. That is my prophecy over all of you today. You are alive because he is alive. Amen. He lives in you. Let's all stand. Best Easter service ever. So glad to see all of you. Dan, I'd love for you to come back and sing for us sometime. You're always welcome. Lindsay, glad to have you. All of you who are here today, it's just a blessing. Really looking forward to this month with Alex. It's just going to be awesome. Please remain standing. Let me show this to the YouTube audience, and then I'll speak a blessing over you. And then the Easter egg hunt will begin.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy.
All through the parking lot.
Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give anytime by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form, and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit missionthenow.com and click the Support tab. Then, My Online Donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment in Metron.
If you're making a check, make it to JESM, and Danny will be back there to receive it. If you have cash, just pay it forward. You might want to bless Alex. You might want to bless Judah. Give to Christina's GoFundMe campaign. Give to somebody. Spread the love around. I hope to see you Tuesday night. It's all the information is there on the page. It's easy to find it, and it's really going to be a very, very cool event. That's all I'm going to say about it. You are alive. I want you to go out and live and have the best week ever. Spirit of God goes with you. Angel of the Lord encamps around about you, and you wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you. Happy Easter.